This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI, that's Ken Rosenthal, discussing the addition of Alex Bregman. We'll get to the Week in Review coming up. We might have some late entries into the Week in Review.
I was going to say.
Coming up at 12:45. If you missed any of the last hour, I would encourage you to go check it out on the Odyssey app. It's hard to explain, but I would go check that out. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You won't miss out on any content from WEEI with that there. So, yeah, go seek that out while we talk Red Sox here in the meantime. The Alex Bregman signing, we're both very much on board with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it raises their margin for error, it raises their ceiling, and gives the Red Sox a real chance to contend this season. Define that how you want. But I think they are a playoff team. I think they're in the mix to win the division. If you're that level of team, you're by default, I think, a World Series contender. Doesn't mean they're the favorite to win it by any means, but they're in that mix, I think. And perhaps you disagree. 617-779-7937. We both want Bregman at third, and I think you look at the roster construction of this baseball team and you say something's got to give. And it doesn't mean it will happen today or even before spring training's over. But we were talking about this yesterday, Keith, sort of in passing. Is there another shoe to drop with the team? And I would look back to 2003, not to say this team will, you know, be as talented as that team. That team could have won a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But they had Ortiz, Millar, Jeremy Giambi, Shea Hillenbrand, Bill Miller. They did not have a closer on that team, closer by committee.
No, they never really had a closer.
And they had to kind of figure out an attempt to deal from a position of strength, if you will, a logjam, to try to fill another need. And again, these aren't the 2003 Red Sox, but they do face a similar problem. And that team attempted to solve it in May, early on that season, by dealing off Shea Hillenbrand. I think you have spare parts on this team that aren't just going to sit on the bench. We don't want Yoshida in the lineup, you and I. He's not just going to sit on the bench every day. They pay him too much money. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in the lineup more than we probably want. The easiest way to fix that is to get him off the team.
Yeah, no, it is. By the way, Bregman is there. They were talking about would he be at camp, and so there's
he's
videos.
Already there.
He's there.
Good.
He's ready to rock.
Well,
so,
I would say as a side note, that speaks to your point that he might have been the one to just say, guys, I want to get this done. I'm not going
to
be Jeremy Swayman.
Right.
Walking in one game after the year starts.
Mm-hmm.
I want it done. And so, good. He should be there. Good for him.
So, that is good. So, I think the only, like, logjam to me is when you have multiple guys that need to play every day.
Too many good players.
Yeah, that's not really the case.
No, that's fair.
Now, you're paying Yoshida a lot of money. And so, that he is worth bringing up in that regard. But it's not the end of the world, like, if he's not playing. Like, yeah, he might not like it. And it's not a great investment to have that guy on the bench. But if your best team is him not in there, then so be it. Like, you need to win games. Like, that's what you're here to do. So if they're willing to maybe pay a second baseman $40 million a season, that tells you, like, all right, we're not just putting all of our money at number one starting pitcher and, you know, outfielder who hits 40 home runs. Like, they're willing to kind of move things around a little bit. I think, like, I don't think it's decided yet where Bregman's going to play. I bet a lot of it is going to be fleshed out over the next couple of weeks. And the best team that they could put on the field is obviously with him at third base. But you have the double whammy of, all right, is Devers now a $30 million DH, and is Yoshida a $19 million bench player?
Right. I don't
think that's tough.
Henry's not going to sit there and do that. I know he's lighting up cigars and celebrating the Bregman series signing, but he's not going to do that.
So does Yoshida, can you get rid of him and pay just some of his salary and just be done of that? Or,
yeah, you came up with a good spot for him. Chaim Bloom's the one who signed him.
You like him still?
In St. Louis. You're the one who signed him. Or he signed him in Boston, rather, but he's in St. Louis now. Yeah, do you have any interest in Yoshida?
They only got Vaughn Grissom in return for Chris Sale, and they paid most of that deal. So they are willing to pay for a guy to play somewhere else. Maybe you do that with Yoshida, just so you don't have that problem.
But Sale also, what did he have, 1 year left on his deal?
This guy's got three years. But, I mean, that just means you'd have to pay more. Like, you have to pay whatever the percentage is of that. Is there any even discussion of Yoshida grabbing a glove and being the fourth outfielder, or is that ship sailed?
Well,
because I would rather Yoshida play every once in a while in left than Devers play third.
Okay, but then who comes off the field in the outfield?
I mean, I don't think Rafaela needs to play every day.
It gets solved when Trevor Story gets hurt.
Well, Rafaela's probably going to play. Yeah. But Rafaela also might play some second base. Because if Bregman's playing third.
I think
you're better off doing that.
What it really comes back to is Yoshida doesn't fit on the roster. And so they're trying to figure out how to get their best lineup on the field. And maybe the answer is, well, we're not going to sit Yoshida down making $18 million a year. John Henry's not going to go for that. Okay, he finally opened up his wallet to sign Bregman, but he's not going to sit there with an $18 million useless bench piece.
But could you convince him that...
So does he get in the lineup at DH? That's why you have to keep Devers at third, which is why you're trying to get creative and play Bregman at second. Like, it's all a backwards way of building your roster. Instead of starting with your best players and going, this is where he fits, this is where that guy fits, they're doing it backwards and saying, Yoshida's on the team, he can only play DH, maybe a few days here and there in left field. But that's why they're kind of piecing this together, again, in reverse. With Bregman at second base, they're trying to make the roster fit because Yoshida doesn't fit.
But I wonder if Henry is the holdup at any point, and I don't know if he would be, right? Like, I think he just needs to be convinced to sign the checks and then let Cora and maybe Breslow kind of figure out the rest. But if you sell
you don't think he's sitting there going, wait a minute, I pay this guy $18 million a year to sit? I pay this guy, whatever they pay Devers AAV, I pay him to just
a
DH?
I'm like, yeah, but John, the guy who signed him, you fired.
Is gone. Well, good point. That'd be a good retort.
So that might be what you say. But you could also spin it as, we have a $40 million guy playing out of position. Like, right. So let's put that guy
where he belongs.
So out of the three, like, Bregman's better at third base than obviously Devers is, and he's also more valuable than Yoshida either at DH or in left field. So, like, get your money's worth with your, for a single season, highest paid player on the roster. So I still think there could be some flexibility there. I love how everybody just assumes that Bregman will be like a great second baseman.
Well, so this is a good discussion. Are we positive he's going to play a good second base?
So my guess is, like, with his build and like how good he is as a third baseman, like, Trevor Story went from short to second for that 1 year and however many games because he was hurt, but it was really good. Like, at
defensively,
second.
He was awesome. Yeah,
defensively,
he's a good defensive shortstop. He was a really, really good defensive second baseman.
But, I mean, and I know what Bregman played short in college, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that a lot in the last day or so.
But a lot of guys play short in college. Sort of Pedroia, sort of like all these guys.
Exactly. So, David Eckstein.
But Bregman's also played in the majors for like 9 years at third base. Like, isn't he most comfortable at third base?
Yes. So I'm assuming the transition to second would go fine, but that is a projection.
Yeah. But it is just people just like assume it.
Okay. Let me give you another one. If you were going to move Devers, would you play him at first, or would you just DH him? It's not like Cassis is great at first.
No, I know, but that's another one that I think people just assume. Like, put him at first. Like, put him at first.
No,
what year was it when?
I would rather have him DH, but we haven't even really talked through that. Like, if you were going to play Bregman at third, is there merit to Devers at first, Cassis DH?
Remember when they were like, Kyle Schwarber can play first? Yeah. It's like, can he?
Yeah, definitely. Like, absolutely can.
Remember when he had like a routine grounder and he like tipped his cap
to
the
awesome.
Crowd? Like, he's
that
hilarious.
That was great.
But that whole year, who were some of the other guys? It was, who is the guy that was supposed to be like a good hitter that they got and then was horrible and they like stuck him at, Franchi Cordero. They're like, Franchi Cordero can play first. Like, no, he can't. Like, not everybody can just play
first. He
actually
can't play anywhere in the majors.
No,
so,
I think if you're going to move Devers off of third, he's just DHing, at least for me.
That's what I would do, too.
Yeah.
But I have seen this written, and I'm trying to remember who it was now. It might have been one of the ESPN guys, Schoenfield or somebody like that, who said he would go to first.
Yeah, Costa's probably also a DH.
I'm like, wait a minute.
They got like five DHs.
Yeah.
The whole team is DHs.
Most of them are DHs.
Yeah.
Except for Bregman, but you're not even playing him at his position.
Correct. They're all DHs, and Bregman is a third baseman playing second. That's your team. So, like, something, the roundabout point is something has to go to make it work. And that, the reason 03 is a good analogy, again, take out how successful that team was, and they should have won the ALCS against the Yankees. They could have won the World Series. They won the World Series the next year. That team had star power, and they were fun, and all these other things, okay? This team is none of that. But but the logjam between DH, first base, third base existed. They had to solve it early in the year. That was a May trade. Hillenbrand for BK Kim was in May. They didn't wait till the trade deadline. They knew they had to do something about it. And they also had a massive issue in their bullpen, which I you said this earlier, Keith. Chapman and hopefully Liam Hendricks is way better than what they had in 03.
Yeah.
Brandon Lyon led the team in saves that year when we looked it up.
I think they started the year with like Brandon Lyon, like Chad Fox,
Chad Fox, I think, blew the first game in Tampa that year, I think.
And then they were like, I remember they said it was going to be a committee, and yet I feel like Lyon got most of the opportunities until they traded for Byung-Young Kim, and then he became sort of the closer, but he sucked at it.
Scott Sauerbrunn. Scott Williamson.
Scott Williamson. No, he wasn't on that team, I don't think.
Scott Sauerbeck.
Are you saying Scourback?
Megan the Scallion?
Here?
So I think there are some similarities and some parallels. Like, I just don't know what kind of trade value, if any, Yoshida has. Probably not much.
But, like, none.
Could you move him to get something that fits better on your roster?
Yeah, because I think you go up and down, and now that everybody has the DH, not everybody has either an everyday DH, or even if it is an everyday DH, it's not like a great hitter. Like, that day is gone when everybody had like a bopper.
I would love that for Devers, just again, as a side. I would love that for Devers. Just be the everyday DH. That's a huge advantage.
It should help his shoulder every year where he seems to be like dealing with some sort of nagging injury.
But that's also a huge advantage. If you pencil in a guy who's going to hit for a high average and power, and he does it every single day, as opposed to the teams who are using it to like give a guy a pseudo day off or mix in.
Oh, he'd be one of the better DHs, right?
Like an extra infielder. Like, that's a huge advantage.
No, it is. And then I think, you know, the question is for them. You and I are all for Christian Campbell starting even day one, or like Roman Anthony starting day one. How long of a process do they want to wait with those guys? If it's a whole season, like as crazy as that might be, then maybe you do put Bregman at second because you're saying, well, Campbell's not even going to be up all year. But if he's up in a couple of months, you might as well start Bregman already at third and then leave that spot open, have some sort of filler like Vaughn Grissom or Rafaela, like whoever playing second base until that, you know, time is right.
So I think it's a good problem to have, but I do think it is a problem with this roster. It doesn't mean I don't like the Bregman signing, but it creates a potential issue. And so how are they going to solve that? Do they need to solve that? Is it one of the things that, to your point, will just take care of itself over the course of the year? 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. Another byproduct of something that occurred to me with the Bregman signing that I do like, you know, the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry largely also takes care of itself. If the teams are both good in the same season, the rivalry is going to be there. It'll never be what it was in 03 and 04, but the rivalry is still there. We saw that in 2021 when they had that the wild card series, divisional series, whatever it was, wild card series.
Wasn't it one game wild card, right?
Was it a one game playoff?
I think it was, yeah.
Whatever it was a madhouse for that, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
So the rivalry is still there. Both teams are good. If you get them when they're both bad, it's not. If you get it when one team's good, the other team's bad, it's not. But assuming they're both going to be good, we think these are the two best teams in the AL East.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not fast asleep on the Orioles.
You're more in on the Orioles than I am. They lost Corbin Burns.
That's big.
They lost to a lesser degree Santander, who bopped a bunch of home runs last year.
They suck a lot of dingers.
So I think these are the best two teams in the division, Red Sox and Yankees.
Okay.
That should help the rivalry right there. And then Yankees fans hate all those Astros, and they hate Bregman.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe there's a little added juice to the rivalry as well, which is not the reason you sign Bregman, but it is a nice little potential benefit of this signing to get the rivalry stoked again.
Did you see, by the way, with the Yankees, Devin Williams making the round? So Devin Williams, who they got from the Brewers, the reliever, so he had to like shave his beard. So now everybody's like coming out of the woodwork talking about that and like how antiquated it is to like have to, the only team in professional sports that they make their players like shave their face. It is so stupid.
I think until the Steinbrenner kids start spending like their dad, they're not allowed to keep that tradition going.
Good point.
Like, you have to start, if you're gonna make guys shave their beards, you at least got to spend like you're still the New York Yankees.
It is like embarrassing though. Like, that's a real rule that you guys have?
Yeah, how would we do with that?
I don't think I could do it. I'd tell them, I'd be like, I have a doctor's note, I have sensitive skin. I have sensitive skin, or I can't shave all the time. They'd be like, what the hell?
I'm lucky I can't grow one.
I mean, I can't.
I can't really grow one, no. but they
wouldn't like this. They'd be like, "This is your guys look like a mess."
I'm they would be right about that.
They're right.
Yeah, you're a couple of disheveled guys.
But yeah, no, it's not good. So there is that. But no, any kind of like if they hate Bregman and Cora, great, good. I hate those guys. That's all. I'll take that.
And I think you know when you're talking about ways to make the Red Sox interesting and like if there's any potential opportunity for. You know, the Red Sox to move in on the Patriots turf. It's been a Patriots town for a long, long time. But then New England's won 4 games each mm-hmm. of the past 2 years. Maybe there's an opportunity if the Red Sox have a good year to jump in there. That presumes, you know, the Patriots don't bring in their own amount of star power in free agency, which we'll get to coming up. But maybe there's an opportunity there. Red Sox-Yankees is a good way to bring that back. And that rivalry, the nostalgia for that rivalry, is a good way to bring that back. And I think Bregman is a piece of that. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Bregman signing a day later, what it brings to the team, and now what's the next shoe to drop? Because I think even if you're bullish on the move, you like the move, you're excited about the move, I think we can all agree it's an imperfect roster, and there are still moves they got to make. So again, 617-779-7937. We have the Week in Review coming your way. Before the end of the hour, we still have Keith's Keys.
Oh, yeah.
To a very, very exciting international bean... Four Nations? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call it an international
face-off, Jones. Yeah.
So we'll get to that coming up. And we'll also get into the Patriots and free agency. What lessons can they take from the Red Sox and their signing of Alex Bregman? We'll do that right after...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trending with Billy Laney. Stay tuned.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. We have the week in review coming your way about 20 minutes from now.
Busy
at
week.
12:45.
Jam-packed.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd see it. The Super Bowl seems a long time ago.
A distant memory.
It really does. Yeah. I'd say a lot that's happened since then. We'll relive it coming up again about 20 minutes from now. That was Lou Maloney. Sitting down with Tom Caron. He was on yesterday on WEEI Afternoons as well. On the Bregman signing, what it can mean for the entire lineup. I want to get into the Patriots and any lessons they can take away from the Red Sox being active in free agency, but let's mix in some phone calls here.
All right.
Joe is in Plymouth. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? So calling today, just talk about that picture with John Henry. I think that they think that they're done. I think that they think they got who they wanted, and that's it, and they're not doing anything else. As much as we'd love to all see it, but I think that's kind of where they stand.
Did you hear Cora talking about that picture at all, Keith?
No, he did?
Yeah, so maybe we can get it up
on... So for those that missed real quick,
yeah.
It was after the signing of Bregman, an Instagram story from John Henry's wife is John Henry sitting in a chair next to a fireplace with jeans and a vest mm-hmm. and like a button-up shirt. And a cigar, smoking a cigar, smoke in the air.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I just won the World Series.
Yeah, here
it is
go.
On Twitch and YouTube.
Brian has it up on Twitch and YouTube, exactly. So that's,
before you tell me what Cora said, I kind of agree with the caller.
There.
I wonder if that is like a, hey, look at me, look what I accomplished, and also we're done. I don't think that that's a bad way of reading into it.
So perhaps what Cora said, and I didn't hear it. I only read it. So maybe I should go listen to it. But I read the comment where he was like, oh, well, I guess something happened with Liverpool where they blew a lead in their match. And he was like going through it because Liverpool lost. So I
thought it was maybe because Sidney Crosby played really well in the Four Nations.
You did say that actually. Yeah. You said that. And so
he's got a lot of different things going on. So I guess it could mean anything.
That's what Cora said. But I felt like there was a little bit of a shot at Henry in there, almost like he cares more about the soccer team than the baseball team.
Mm.
So maybe that's worth efforting. I read it. It you know, my antenna went up a little bit.
So also, I'm very happy that they signed Bregman. But like, he's been getting criticized for years and years and years for not spending money.
Henry.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Henry has. And a team this year spent over $700 million on a player. He spends $120 on a guy that can opt out after 1 year. And he's like,
it could be 40.
Could be $40 million.
Like it could be.
And it's like, smoke a cigar, take my picture.
Yes.
Hey, honey, take my picture.
So that's a little
kind
much.
Of like, it's a weird, as the kids would say, it's a weird flex.
It joke. Is. And the thing with Bregman, too, and you were, you hate the move.
I love it.
So, but you were more skeptical about it than most.
Well, yeah, I don't.
Well, or not the most. More skeptical about it than me. And it's like his numbers did drop off last year.
Yeah, he had his worst OPS of his career last year. It doesn't mean he can't bounce back. It's just a fact.
A notorious slow starter, which I didn't realize. I was listening to Ted yesterday, and you know, Ted was in Houston at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he starts most seasons slow, which in Houston maybe people don't care about.
Didn't Bogaerts start slow, too?
Probably.
I feel like there's some similarities between me and Bogaerts.
Look, Pedroia, to bring it back to what Cora was comparing it to earlier.
His rookie year, real slow.
Like, couldn't possibly start slower than that. Mm-hmm. So how does that play in a market like Boston versus a market like Houston where, let's face it, that's a football state, a football town.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a football town now, but we're going to follow that closely. So I look at it and I just say, oh, yeah, wait, is this the comment?
That's
that
the quote from Cora about the picture. Quote, he was upset at the non-call on Liverpool star Mo Salah in minute 95 yesterday. Should be a penalty, and obviously Everton took the ball the other way. They
obviously.
Scored, and they draw that game. That's the reason he was smoking that cigar.
He was
more upset about the match that happened.
So that's what I thought was, that was the one where my antenna went up a little bit. He was more upset about the match that happened. I was like, oh.
I don't know what to... read on that.
I just wonder, and like I would imagine Cora and Henry are good since he re-upped and signed his contract.
Yeah, I think probably.
But it's like, I felt like a little bit of a shot, but maybe I'm reading too much into that. If Bregman has a slow start, what does it mean? And you think the Astros are a pretty good organization, right?
They have been.
You know, I mean, they find different ways to win, for sure.
Find ways to win, that's right.
But I think they're a pretty good organization. Why are they letting him go? Like, why it seems, I think, from talking to Bradfo yesterday, they didn't want him back at any number.
They also, like, Kyle Tucker's gone. Like, that's dumb as hell to me.
So that's
like,
a good point.
Maybe, like, they were
smart. Is there just a larger fire sale going on there?
Yeah, because like, they were in the playoffs last year. And, like, sticking with Altuve and letting Tucker and Bregman go, like, I think that's dumber. So I don't know. Maybe they just feel like their window's closed and they need to move on quicker. And they don't think they're going to, like, squeeze out another World Series. But, no, I wouldn't look at that as, like, that's bad. Like, I think they – and what was weird, though, about the Astros is they let him go. Then they were out. Then they were back in. Then they apparently had an offer. It was, like, kind of similar like the Red Sox and Bogarts, where it's like, are you cutting ties with the guy or are you not?
They didn't want him.
Yeah.
And I think Bradfo,
but you know how I feel about Kyle Tucker. And if you're not going to keep him, then like, who are you going to keep?
Didn't you sneaky want Kyle Tucker over Juan Soto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of did. Tucker's nice.
And yeah. So, yeah, maybe there's something larger going on with the Astros. I just think there's a reason he's gone. And maybe it's financial, but I think the Red Sox found a pretty good way to solve that by going effectively year to year over a short-term contract and a high AAV.
Yeah.
Rich is in Canaan. Go ahead, Rich. This is an interesting point.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering. I mean, all of a sudden we're seeing this guys going out and getting big contracts for the Red Sox. I'm wondering if maybe Theo's pulling all the strings behind the doors since he became the minority owner.
So
maybe he's doing all of it.
So, Keith, I was thinking about this on my drive home yesterday. I have a theory with Theo, but I'm curious if you think he had any role in this.
I was excited when they first brought Theo back, and then when you kind of heard more about his role, and it was like sort of being involved in everything. Like, it wasn't even just the Red Sox. Like, it shows you how much people like Theo, though, where, like, if the Red Sox do anything well, you're like, ah, he had his fingerprints on it. And then if they don't, you're like, ah, it must not be in his control. Like, he's at that level, which is, like, great for him. But
no, he's somewhat bulletproof.
Yeah, I don't really think so. I think this is more Cora begging for it and then Henry, like, reluctantly being like, okay, we do need to spend some money, I guess.
The Red Sox, they're still not spending like they used to.
No.
So I don't want to give Theo too much credit for that. The creativity of the deal, I might give Theo some credit for.
Okay.
Like the fact that they went, and even the ability to influence Henry to just say, it's a good deal. It's a 3-year deal. He can opt out. Like, let's get creative with the structure and go, hi, you're worried about him in year 6, 7, and 8. So am I. Let's get creative with it. Like that sort of thing. I don't know, but I'd be willing to go there and give Theo some credit for that. I'm not going to say Theo's back and now the Red Sox are spending again, because to your point, they're spending less in total on this guy, higher AAV, but they're spending less in total on this guy than they are on Trevor Story.
Could you see a scenario where, you know, Breslow didn't really want him, Cora really wanted him, and then Theo kind of bridges the gap and like brings the two together and is like, all right, what if we do this kind of commitment to him where we get him, we're not locking him up 6 years, we're not even going to offer him that, but we'll do this, he can even opt out, and then Cora and Breslow are like, all right, that makes sense, let's do that.
Yeah, I think there probably is some element of that, where again, yeah, I don't want to give Theo too much credit. When the Red Sox brought him back, Keith, I said it's the first thing I liked that the Red Sox did in like 5 years. And I do like that Theo's back involved. And I hope he gets more and more involved. But I'll give him credit for stuff like that. Getting creative with the deal, or you're right, leaning on John Henry to side with Cora as opposed to side with Breslow, that sort of thing. I think it's small, and it's not the Red Sox of 20 years ago when Theo was here and they were spending in big, big ways. But I would give him credit for that. 617-779-7937, you can jump in there. The Patriots, what sort of takeaways, if any, can they have from the Bregman signing and the Red Sox making one move and getting us all excited and fired up? Is there a lesson there for the Pats?
I think there is. Now, whether or not they go through with it remains to be seen, but I think we saw how a couple of moves overall, right? Garrett Crochet, I don't think we're as excited about Bregman if they didn't already trade for Garrett Crochet and sign Walker Buehler. But you trade for those guys, you get a little bit of buzz. Then there's this long lull, and I think people are starting to turn a little bit sour. You know, be like, all right, is this all we're doing? And then they get Bregman, and holy smokes, like yesterday was 93.7% positive. We had a couple fans be like, I think you guys are overreacting. But for the most part, people are really pumped up about it. It's like, hey, we're going to have a season this year. Playoffs is not just the goal, but it's the expectation. There was a real change because you're investing in the team. It's also a player that fits a need and everything else. So the Patriots could take this blueprint, and maybe you could say they already have, at least to start. They moved on from Mayo. I'm sure a tough decision for Kraft, but one and done. They bring in Mike Vrabel. Approval rating already much higher. Now, if you go out there and get some big-time players and you spend in free agency, you know, have a good draft strategy, maybe make a trade, oh, yeah, people will get back on board. They're looking for anything. You keep saying how thirsty Red Sox fans are. Patriots fans are the same way. And so if we get something, then, yeah, there'll be cause for excitement.
And they don't even need to look to the Red Sox. They can just look to when the Patriots last spent money in 2021.
Yeah.
And, like, how fired up people were for that year. And by the way, that worked.
It did.
You know, like, you can nitpick individual signings, and I certainly did. But they went out, they spent wildly, $250 million in free agency. And they went from a team that missed the playoffs to a 10-win team. And it was a shot in the arm, and it was temporary, but that would get people excited. I do think there's a lesson there. And I think it could be fixed with just signing T. Higgins. You know, like that, something that simple.
Yeah, huge.
Maybe I shouldn't say just with T. Higgins, because there's reports he's going to get upwards of $30 million. And, you know, he's the top guy on the market if he even gets to market. So, you know, I understand that would probably solve a lot of things and get people excited. But the Patriots should look to it and say, it doesn't take much to create a little buzz. You guys have had shockingly little buzz. The Red Sox for years had shockingly little buzz.
And both are so similar because they've also had so many times where...
We just want the teams to invest. That's really all we want is for the teams to... We're invested. We watch the teams. We invest in the teams. We go to the games. Like,
but they've been close to free agents, right?
That's
like,
all it
or like publicly, just missed. And who knows what the real truth is,
right?
But,
the Red Sox with Soto, the Patriots with Ridley, and even Ayuk to it. That wasn't a free agent, but even Ayuk,
You can't have more of those. Because I think if Bregman signed one of those other deals, we found out yesterday he signed with the Tigers, that would have been pretty soul crushing because there are people still holding out hope or people saying, well, this is going to happen. It's only a matter of time. And then if it didn't, so wait till the Patriots offseason really starts to pick up and free agency begins, and there are certain guys that they're rumored to, and then they sign with the Jets, they sign with the Titans, they sign with whatever. Like that, each one of those just starts to sting even more. Like you got to win some of those battles.
Let me ask you about Higgins for a moment. I'm blanking on the linebacker's name, but they're about to deal off a linebacker, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Burrow's been very adamant and gone out and said, well, yeah, we should get creative like Philadelphia and sign all our guys. You can go over the cap. I'm willing to restructure my deal, blah, blah, blah. Do you read them looking to peel off pieces from their defense and make trades as a sign that the Bengals aren't ready to spend and are going to start retooling their team? Or do you look at it as they're trying to get creative and find ways to pay T. Higgins and Jamar Chase?
Well, I think Jamar Chase, first and foremost, and maybe even Trey Hendrickson. Like, they can't get rid of everybody on defense. I mean, this is a team that just missed the playoffs a year ago. So they're a pretty cheap organization, and they're forced now to spend money on Jamar Chase, and it's going to be the highest contract in league history at that position.
Jermaine Pratt is the linebacker's name. Thank you, yeah.
But my guess is Chase is far and away priority number one. I wouldn't be surprised if Hendrickson's more of a priority than Higgins just because you have Chase.
That's a good point. Even if they're trying to free up money, it might...
Higgins might still get gone.
Higgins might be irrelevant.
That's what I think.
So, yeah, the only thing I would caution the Patriots on, at this time last year, a lot of us were talking ourselves into T. Higgins. He looked like one of the top guys on the market. In fact, there were quite a few guys that you thought maybe would be on the market that got snapped up and stayed with their teams or restructured their deals and stuck. And all of a sudden, what looked like a good free agent class, it was like Calvin Ridley was the top guy by far in the class. So I would have pivot plans ready. And the good news for the Patriots, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Whether it's trades for DK Metcalf or Cooper Kupp or Deebo Samuel, who we've talked about, whether it's some of the free agents out there, potentially very soon, Davante Adams, who we talked about earlier today.
Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin's a good one. You need a pivot plan ready in case T. Higgins doesn't get to market.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. You can jump in there on Jones and Keith. We'll get to our week in review.
Jam-packed.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, what a week it's been here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Ton of stuff to get to. Of course, this past Sunday was the Super Bowl. Jones correctly predicted it'd be a highly watched game.
Thank you.
And it was.
We can't all be so bold.
Nope. And here's a sample of just a few of the callers we took the following Monday.
Let's go to Jeremy in Leominster. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Watching that game last night, I had a random thought. It seemed like one of those games in college when a Power 5 team plays one of those weaker conferences. So I actually looked up the Georgia-UMass game. UMass, after three quarters, was closer to Georgia than the Chiefs were to the Eagles after three quarters.
Bobby's in Rhode Island. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Bobby.
I was actually put on hold because I asked a question about a Valentine's Day contest, and I am live on the radio.
Oh, so you're on hold for that.
Bobby.
We'll put you back on hold, Bobby.
Wait, Valentine's Day contest?
Mike's in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
Did you really say that you think Kelsey is a better all-time tight end than Rob Gronkowski?
I did, yes.
That's crazy. Kelsey doesn't block. Kelsey doesn't show up half the time. Gronkowski was a better blocker, a dominant receiver. John Gruden the other day ranked his top five tight ends. Gronkowski was number one.
Oh, wow.
And Kelsey wasn't going to win.
I miss Gruden's ranks.
So I'm with that caller. I'm Gronk over Kelsey, although I don't know if he had the strongest argument. Kelsey doesn't block, Gronk rocks. John Gruden said so.
you want some stronger supporting evidence.
Need a little bit, something extra.
Good callers, though.
All right, speaking of callers, we had a very interesting caller. Now, we've never heard back from this gentleman, which could lead to maybe an answer as to what happened, but this was on Tuesday.
Maybe he's on the lam.
Caller had a hot take, but he might have been a little preoccupied.
Go ahead, Hunter.
Hey, how's it going?
Was that a bird call? Yeah, I was going to say, what do you have, parakeets or something like that? What is that?
Yeah, no, it was an electronic thing. But I wanted to talk about just coming.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Are you breaking into some place that has an electronic safe?
No, we're good. It's an alarm thing. But I wanted to talk about the upcoming draft.
It quick before the cops show up.
Yeah, so the Travis Hunter situation, I understand I'm probably on an island out here, but I really despise taking that kid, even in the top 10, if it was up to me.
Uh-huh.
But so I bring up, I think the guy has pure athleticism and
yeah, go on.
I just think his talent alone isn't going to be enough to suffice in the NFL against these bigger names. He doesn't have the technique and proper.
What was happening there?
I don't know.
It's just electronics.
Stuart Gardner Museum removing paintings.
Text great. The guy breaking into a jewelry store doesn't like Travis Hunter.
Well, look, we're not going to shut down any opinions, Keith.
Do me a favor. When you're stealing cars out there, change the presets. 93.7.
Yeah.
93.7.
Yeah, just leave that in there for the next person, if you don't mind. Yeah, all six of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still standard? You still get six?
It's like newer cars have more? Calling card.
Yeah, it is.
93.7 was set to number one on all these cars.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That was incredible. He had a Travis Hunter take that he needed to get across no matter what set of locks he was trying to pick.
He also, his name was Hunter, which I think is very suspect
in
retrospect. I like picturing him like, Catherine Zeta-Jones, like going through like...
sliding under the lasers.
While he's on the phone, like
what
calling
in. What a scene that was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, entrapment.
Yeah. Power couple? Well, not a sports power
couple. Well, if you're doing celebrity power couple, I'd say Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas would be right up there at the top. One or two.
Still together.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah. I was going to get into something about what happened to him, but there's...
Strong jaw.
Correct. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. All right, let's go to... this is sort of a PSA that something that happened to me that I don't want to have happen to you.
These are important, yeah.
So when I bought my house, they had one of these sweet TV... not even that sweet of a TV, but like a nice TV. And we were just so excited to get the house. And then they like had all this crap, literally crap. They're like, do you want us to leave it? And we're like, well, TV's a TV.
Okay, so what's more? The TV, that's not crap.
Didn't work. It was crap.
Oh, then that
is
crap.
Like, during our walkthrough, I didn't, like, turn it on and watch a show. I saw it mounted on the wall, and I was like, that's sweet.
That must work.
I go, that must work if they're giving it to us. And I'm like, that's all. Check that off. We don't need a TV for this room. Like, it's already mounted on the wall and everything.
Oh, first getting in that. There, first of all, you got to get your cable installed. You got to bring somebody to come hang the television. So I don't blame you for that at all.
So I turned the TV on. Like,
I might have checked if it worked, but yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Never happened to me again. Next house I go look at, turning all the TVs on, watching everything.
Sir, what are you doing?
So
just turning on TVs in every
turn
room.
Turn the TV
checking
on.
Checking all the light switches.
There's like lines through it. I was like, oh my God. So then we had to like get rid of it. Then you had to find a way to get rid of it. They left.
You're like, we don't want the house. They're like,
you screwed us on the TV. So there was that.
Lemon law.
Yeah. There was also some sort of like an elliptical.
Nice. That didn't work.
No, well, why did we want that? We weren't going to use that. What a waste.
Oh.
We got rid of it. Yeah, they probably saw me, and they're like, you might want to get on this.
Why do you keep that one?
They left a ride-on lawnmower that I was like, all right, I'll take that.
Sweet.
I think I got like 2-3 cuts out of it. Thing died.
Yeah.
And then I was getting chirped during that. People are like, you can fix those. I'm like, first of all, I cannot fix those.
Yeah.
And it was super old. And my dad, who can fix everything, he tried fixing it. I think he got it to work like another go, and then it was like, he's like, you're done with this. This thing is over.
That's like 2 or 3 cuts that you wouldn't have got, though.
No, I know, but I also then had to get rid of it.
Well, that's true.
Like, that's the problem, is like leaving your junk with somebody, then they're responsible for properly disposing of said junk.
It's a good point.
We also, Bill Belichick has been front and center this week, last week, whether it's the NFL honors, the Dunk Kings commercial,
sure,
et cetera. His lover, Jordan, posted on her.
His agent.
Well, according to Pablo Torre, his agent / manager. And she posted on Instagram a beautiful photo of her hand on his hand, rings everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there were several hashtags. And we sort of tried to unpack this a little bit. You know, they just had their meet-iversary. She tweeted about that.
I saw you text me that, yeah.
No, M-E-E-T. Jesus, Nick. What the hell's wrong with you?
Good job, Nick.
The show's on during the day. No, the meet-iversary is when they met.
Say it again.
I do like that name for it, though.
Still sounds awful. Yeah. Yeah, talking about that some more.
This is when we dated.
Yeah.
3 days later was the meet-iversary.
We went on a date.
Our first date was on a Monday. Our meet-iversary was Wednesday.
She had a wild post on her Instagram.
Yeah.
So she said February 11th, 2025, then an arrow pointing to February 11th, 2021. So she was 20?
Yeah.
Okay. Happy meet-iversary at Bill Belichick.
Also,
cheers. I'm not done. Cheers with a cheersing emoji to the fact that you still let me give you lengthy philosophical lectures for 4 years later.
Oh, okay, good.
Hashtag love is not logical.
Nope.
Hashtag even though it kind of is.
Yeah.
No. Hashtag ironic. Hashtag I fill to fill. P-H-I-L.
Don't.
P-H-I-L.
Don't plug that in on Pornhub.
And then a, like, when you make a heart with your hands emoji.
I search those hashtags every day.
Now, we did get an update that it's philosophy. That's how they met. They bonded on philosophy.
Yes,
so
yes,
everybody's got sick thoughts. That's not what that meant.
Hashtag fill to fill. I like Billy saying, we met on a Monday. Our meet-iversary was a Wednesday.
Congrats.
Yeah, good for you.
Way to go. Hell yeah, guys. So that's that. And so, yeah, Bill remains kind of front and center. Rob Bradford began his weekly hits with us on Bregman Day, of all things. So Thursdays at 11:30, a fresh new opening on our show is now going to be filled. I fill to fill by Rob Bradford. And he had a very timely Super Size Me reference, although he couldn't remember the name of the the actor director. You were talking about Morgan Spurlock.
Oh, Morgan Spurlock.
He's dead. You know the scene that I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where he's like, he was off the walls after eating his McDonald's, and then 50 minutes later, he's like in a food coma. Yeah.
Well, now he's in a food coma in the sky because
I know.
Sadly passed last year.
I want to go there. Thank you.
Sure.
For
you brought him up, Rob.
Before I forget, one of my favorite segments that you guys do is obviously baseball related. The random baseball player of the day, right? Yeah. I love it.
Were you? Because I was just gonna go here, Bradfo, with a Morgan. I thought I was gonna say Morgan Ensberg, maybe a random baseball player of the day, Morgan Ensberg.
Oh, Morgan Burkhart.
Morgan Burkhart, great one.
Which by the way, one executive said his best tool is a fork. So which I always thought was great.
Same with Morgan Spurlock.
But, yeah, no, that's true. Well, speaking of random baseball player of the day, later on in the show yesterday, we in fact had random baseball player, which usually is the last thing in grab bag, and it kind of not great. Played for 6 teams in his illustrious career: the Orioles, Blue Jays, Expos, Diamondbacks, A's, and Twins.
Say those again.
Orioles, Blue Jays,
yep.
Expos,
uh-huh.
Snakes, A's, Twins.
Okay.
Broke into the majors in 1996, where he was able to finish seventh in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Mike. This guy. It wasn't Mike. Mike Bordick.
It wasn't Mike Bordick. Do you want a huge hint?
Yes, please.
Had a very unique batting stance.
We already had this guy.
We did?
Who was it?
Didn't we have Tony Bautista?
He got it.
We already had Tony Bautista, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Where's your grid?
That's why. Yeah.
Where's your Excel sheet?
Look at your grid. You have a whole Excel sheet.
I can't keep doing this.
part of the reason I wasn't guessing him earlier is I'm like, we've already done this.
I got to come up with random new players.
I got a big hint for you. Yeah, me too. We already used him.
So I got another one for you.
Start over again.
He's a one-time All-Star. He played for the A's, Orioles, Blue Jays, and Mets.
Mike Bordick.
Yes.
Tony Bautista, well, you are now the second member.
He's the new Raul Ibanez. Move over, Raul Ibanez.
You're now the second member.
Damn it. I thought that
the
was two-time
random baseball player of the day.
Yeah, no, I knew that one. I knew we
no,
got
that,
twice.
Like, that's like a next level.
This might be the third time we've used somebody twice.
Yeah, it got away from me a little bit yesterday. I'm sorry, we're going to bounce back today. Hopefully a new guy. We'll see. My memory is shot.
TBD, for sure.
I have a new guy today. But there you go. There's a week. Actually, we have another week in review. We'll get to it coming up because it actually will lead in nicely to the keys.
Oh, yeah. a bonus week in review.
A bonus week in review.
That'll lead in nicely to the...
Keys to the Four Nations.
Okay, good win for America last night. Huge. We'll get to that with all your phone calls next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.